Topo Chico.
Whoa, you said it. Come sponsor our podcast.
Delicious Topo Chico.
Mineral water. Mm-hmm. How's everyone doing?
Doing well. Melissa even sent me a text the other day of her drinking a lime Topo Chico.
Good. So good. The lime one is definitely my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good. Right. Busy. Really busy.
We have some exciting things coming up that we can't talk about yet.
We can't. It's total secret.
But we will.
We will soon.
But anyways, this is kind of a light crew today. So it's just going to be Brandon, Melissa, and myself for today's episode. Of course, this is At the Movies, where we're here to discuss going to the movies and why we think that movie-going experience is so impactful and what it means as an exhibitor to bring that experience to an audience. And big news right now happens to be the big Warner Brothers announcement. I mean, we're kind of late to the game discussing it because it happened last week, was it?
Last week.
But
ish.
Here we are. But there's been some new developments if anyone hasn't read the news today yet. But Warner Brothers has responded to Christopher Nolan's criticism of the Warner Brothers and HBO Max partnership. Has anyone
read this? What has he said? I have not seen it. I also saw that Patty Jenkins came out, and I haven't been able to read that article either yet. So I know there's filmmakers coming out with their disappointment.
Right. And Christopher Nolan was obviously one of those people that was not happy with the decision.
Yeah.
Calling HBO Max the worst streaming service, which is a bit harsh. I mean, I like HBO.
So get us out of suspense. What did Warner reply with?
Okay. Well, let me shift gears here.
Yeah. Tell us, Scott.
So it looks like Warner Media CEO Ann Sarnoff is basically kind of blaming the performance of Tenet in the US as to why they made the decision, which kind of seems like a little bit of a response to Nolan's criticism. But she said, what we learned about the inclination of people to go to theaters when they're open, obviously, what we learned through Tenet is that the US is not quite ready to fully reopen and have full engagement of fans back into theaters, hence this new strategy. So call out Tenet.
Premature decision to make for a whole year when we have a vaccine coming out. Like, they can say whatever they want.
Well, there was more comments here. Let me find the next. It was from, I believe, the AT&T head. 1 second, let me find it. Talk amongst yourselves. Okay, here it is. AT&T chief executive, is it John Stankey?
Stankey.
It's the Stankey. I wanted to make sure I didn't say Stankey, and he's like, it's Stankey. Chief executive John Stankey apparently appeared unruffled by criticism like Nolan's and defended the plan as being the best strategy in extraordinary circumstances. Both HBO Max and Warner Brothers are owned by the telecom giant through its Warner Media Entertainment unit. And he said, I know there's a lot of noise out there in the market that different people have different points of view. Fundamentally, one of our unfortunate effects of the pandemic is there basically has been no theatrical exhibition business. And that's painful for a lot of people. But our feeling is that there's a win-win type of solution. There's a win for us. There's a win for our customers. And there's a win for our partners. And anytime you're going to change the model, it comes to a degree of noise. And this is certainly no exception.
Wow, so much to unpack with this. Obviously, being a team that is built to champion exhibition, we want to see more content in theaters. We also want to see, you know, I want to see the theatrical window have some exclusivity to it. For sure on the bigger films, right? I mean, getting to go to the movies is a special experience. So ultimately, I think we'll see the pendulum go back a little bit, but man, once it's out of the bag, it's tough to put it back in. And the issue, or the other thing I think that's interesting about this, Universal, Disney, Warner Brothers have their own streaming platforms, you know, like Netflix and like Amazon. But what are the Paramounts and the Sonys and the Lionsgates and STX of the world? You know, how do they play in that field? It will be an interesting thing. But overall, I think that the pandemic has allowed this conversation of movie theaters. You know, once again, movie theaters are going to be a wasteland. And this happens all the time. Mm-hmm. But I think when you really peel it back, it's what's at the heart of this? And I believe it comes into a couple pieces. One, AT&T ran a cable company. Cable's going away and it's being replaced by streaming. What that causes is so much content to have to be produced, because you literally have to produce content 24 hours a day, 365 days a year for multiple different genres and likes.
Mm-hmm. And have it be exclusive too.
Right. And it has to be on your platform. And when you look at the exhibition side, each studio, you know, produces 10, 12, 15 films a year. I mean, sometimes you'll get, you know, Universal where they'll have 20 films plus, but you're not trying to fill up 24 hours a day, 365 days a year in a theater. You're looking, each studio is looking to take a certain number of weeks out of the year. So yes, from AT&T's standpoint or Warner's standpoint, they're going to produce content to fill up HBO Max and Disney with Disney Plus and Universal with Peacock. So they have to produce a lot of content. And I think there are just going to be films that they will produce that are theatrical, built for the theatrical experience. And right now in the can or planned out, there is a year and a half worth of tentpole films that are already ready for theatrical distribution. So this isn't an impending your theater won't reopen, but theater, the number of screens is certainly going to shrink. So, I mean, that's my initial big picture take on it.
Look, when the TV came out, they said movie theaters were going away. When Beta came out, they said movie theaters were going away. When the VHS tapes came out, they said the theaters were going to go away. When Redbox came, you know, every time, when Blockbuster. So I think this is a very stable industry. I do think that some people are potentially taking advantage of this opportunity to push the streaming conversation forward, because everybody's looking to make money, I'm sure, but I don't think the theatrical experience will go away. And I think that these directors that are coming out and speaking out on behalf of that is huge. And I think they want their films on the big screen. They don't want to spend their creative energy to create these amazing films to be played on your television set. It's just, it's not how it works.
Yeah, and I think
live sporting events are not going away. Live concerts are not going away.
Right.
You can tune in and watch great concerts on TV, but you will still go see your favorite bands and performers at a live concert. You can watch all the sports you want on TV, but you will still go to NBA, NFL, hockey, baseball, soccer, indie racing, boxing. I mean, you're going to go to events again, and going to the theater is an event. Mm-hmm. You're going to go to plays.
You're going to go to dinner. I mean, my husband and I were like making a list. Right. We were like, what are all of the things we're going to do as soon as the pandemic is over? The last thing we want to do
on the patio
is spend more time in our home. Once this thing is over, we want to spend time with friends, even if it's in their backyard, but whatever it is, it's going to be out of the home. Mm-hmm. Bottom line.
I think Warner Brothers, while I'm sure it's a strategic move on their part, whether it be financial or whatever, I think they're greatly underestimating the 2021 audiences. Yeah. I feel like moviegoers who have been sitting here like waiting for a lot of this content to come out, they're like those little toy race cars that the further you pull them back, the faster they go when you release them. Like, that's where I think audiences are at right now. Like, they're ready to come back once everything feels safe again. And unfortunately right now, it just isn't yet.
One of the other things that I read on this is that the theatrical box office in 2018 was the highest box office in history. 2019 was number two, 11.32 billion or something like that, close enough. Yeah. And the estimation is that by the Q3 or Q4, we will have 85% of that box office, the trajectory back. So to get that replacement, you need 62 million incremental subscribers. 62 million more people that have to become a subscriber of these platforms. So.
And remember when we went into 2020, we knew the box office was going to be down. Obviously, we didn't know that the box office was going to be essentially closed, but we did go in and then we knew 2021 was going to be hugely stacked. 2 years ago, before, you know, the pandemic struck, we knew 2020, it just didn't have the strongest lineup, in 2021 did, but anything really strong from 2020 has now been pushed into 2021, and come February, March, and the vaccine is widely rolled out and people start to feel safer going out, I think theaters are going to be very busy. Mm-hmm. I really do. So
I agree.
Premature decision, in my opinion, on Warner's part, and we'll just see what happens. So, you know, Patty Jenkins said, if you told me a year ago that we would be going straight to streaming in any way, shape, or form, I would have flipped out. So she joined, I guess there was like a town hall discussion about it, but she said, I'm very, very pro theatrical release. I will be again as soon as this is over. So
it's gonna end. We will be back in theaters. Now, I think what theaters look like and feel like is maybe a little bit different. I mean, if there's gonna be continued spacing, I think that, you know, bigger seats and more comfortable seats, a little bit more spread out. So you're going to lose seat count in the theaters. Mm-hmm. You could see temporary partitions or permanent partitions put up between seats, you know,
or custom private auditoriums that are only built for one group of people.
Yeah. And smaller community-based movie theaters, I think will thrive coming out of this, because they are able to do more localized programming, not just alternate programming, but really localized and bringing people back. And these are great gathering spaces. So when the time is right, and I think that the light is starting to appear at the end of the tunnel, movie theaters have been innovative. And safety has always been a major priority with movie theaters owners. So not knee-jerking, but we are placing bets that the movie theater experience is coming back in a very big way, and we will be here to talk about it and support it. And I cannot wait to see some of the films that are on the slate for 2021.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been almost a full year for me since I've been in a theater seat. I think my last viewing was on January 5th.
Really? What'd you see?
Parasite, ironically.
Oh. A little different kind of Parasite.
Mine was with Brandon, and I think it was March like 5th or 6th or 7th. I don't know, something like that at Disney Studios. So
I'm grounded. We saw Mulan.
Yeah, we saw Mulan in a theater. We're some of the only people who saw Mulan in a theater. So yeah, I think positive things ahead, good things ahead. And
so I would... As of right now, if I want to, I could go see Wonder Woman in a theater.
Well, I mean, what would stop you?
Not till Christmas. Not till December 25th.
Yeah, on Christmas. That's what I'm saying. As of right now, we could. When it comes out, we can go see it. So,
hold on 1 second. We got to do a really big intro for Miss Danielle Hawthorne. Hold on, let me admit her to the.
Oh. Will everyone, she be going to the movies with Brandon on Christmas, or will she not?
Welcome, Danielle.
Hi.
We got there sort of intro. But you brought us friends. You brought us some little furry friends.
So do we say, yes, we will go see Wonder Woman in theaters?
Of course you're going to see Wonder Woman in theaters.
All right. And now we got James joining us now too. All right. Whoa! Hold on 1 second.
May or may not have been on the same meeting.
Is James going to go see Wonder Woman in theaters?
That is a real question.
That is. Right. I think a no too. I agree with you, Danielle. I think he's a no. Unless it's a drive-in.
Look who it is.
Movie Force.
Here he is.
There he is.
Mr. James Faust.
It has been a while.
It's
the full reunion.
There he is.
There you go. There he is.
That's a lot darker than it should be. Hang on a second. I'm switching cameras.
All right. Here's the...
Switching cameras. So fancy over there.
Let's see it this way.
All right, James.
Multiple cameras.
Here's the question.
Still a little dark.
Will you go see Wonder Woman in a theater?
No. Well, not first. Not. So it's what? Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Yep.
I will be watching it as loud as I possibly can before I go to Christmas dinner at my mom's house.
At your home.
At my home. I hope to have a new system at that time. And then I will go see it again in the theater when I feel more comfortable, but not
on
Christmas Day.
That's
not
acceptable.
The first. Yes.
I don't think we'll go see it Christmas Day, but I'm sure we will go see it very quickly in a theater.
Yeah, do a private rental.
I don't have HBO Max, so if HBO Max wants to...
Don't you have AT&T, you automatically get it.
I do, but I've never set it up.
The platform is not great, to be honest, not to talk shit, but it's really... There's better platforms. But...
Oh, and you know what? Actually, why don't we schedule something if Melissa and I are possibly going to be in Texas?
Team...
We should...
Let's rent a theater.
Let's do a private rental.
Yes.
Well, James, will you go with us?
Possibly so. Okay. That would be
no
that
pressure.
Would be
possible okay. with James.
That's a possible.
It'll be
I'd
the
love
first
to
time
be
I've...
there when James goes back to the theater. That,
I will
that
wear
would be
a hazmat
a
suit.
There would be lots
care.
Of exploding at that point. I love HBO Max. Actually, I would say
you
it's
like
my,
it? I don't
it's
like
my,
it.
It's my favorite of the platforms right now. There's, I mean, because I like TMC. I like the, not TMC, the...
AMC?
Yeah. Wait a minute. What is the Turner Classic Movies?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah. And they have that whole section. And I'm a big DC guy. So there's like all the comic things on there. So for me and my wife loves putting things like saving things. You're like, oh, look, I'm gonna watch this later. And I'm gonna watch this later. And yeah, that's probably I'd say that and Netflix have been the lead programs. I mean, I keep forgetting I have Hulu unless I want to watch an old Family Guy.
Okay, wait, you guys, I've been waiting for James to come on this because I want him to talk about all the Hallmark movies he's watched. It's...
Oh, good God.
Way to derail everything, Melissa.
I gotta hear about it.
We were talking about hard-hitting issues before you wanted to talk about Hallmark movies.
That is, I tell you right now, you want to put things in theaters, if you were to able to retrofit that going forward and put those films in theaters this time of year, you rent theaters out for parties. I mean, they have their own wine, for crying out loud. There's a Hallmark gift package wine for Hallmark movies and then for the holiday stuff. And then again, for Valentine's Day, get a pack of wines. I mean, it's tailor-made for parties. I mean, just sitting in a theater, I could totally see it. But yeah, I've probably watched 12 different. I've seen Candace Cameron Bure and, Lacey Chabert way more than I ever thought I'd need to see in my lifetime.
You know what you should pitch?
Once Hallmark has their like people, they pretty much stick with their people.
Oh,
I was
going
to say, what you should do is you should pitch. I mean, most of the Hallmark movies are very holiday themed. They've got tons of Christmas movies, tons of fall themed movies. Like someone should pitch to them that they should be going around and doing pop-up theaters the same way Spirit Halloween will go and move into an abandoned store for a month just before Halloween.
Yes.
And then bounce.
This is like actually Hallmark. A genius idea. We better trademark this on this podcast right now. Seriously, it's like
we kind of need Hallmark.
Pop up.
Oh my gosh, I love this idea.
I mean, yeah, just you take a theater and go, bam, this is what this is. Oh, you can even do marathons for crying out loud. I mean,
yeah, be all their own original.
You know
their
how,
own
like,
original content.
You know how some radio stations will be like on Thanksgiving, then they just flip to Christmas music for a month, and that's all they play.
Yeah.
That's what Hallmark does. So James, just one more question. I'll leave the Hallmark movies to go because you were so funny. You made me laugh. Did you notice a similar theme in each film?
Yeah, slightly the same. Look, you know, when Christmas in Vienna happens and you have your meet cute in the first 11 minutes, you're thinking, oh boy, I hope this ends well. Yeah, it's good. No,
it always ends in love.
And Christmas in Vienna was a world premiere with age appropriate actors, which I find very cool in the Hallmark world. Age appropriate actors. It's kind of amazing. They look great for their age, but age appropriate actors.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so what's on the Hallmark Christmas list this week? Is anything new?
I think there's an actress that's off. I think it's still on Days of Our Lives, and she's been having a lot of films. It's funny. The Hallmark thing is great, but also the one I've been looking. One problem with these films have been sort of the diversity part of this thing, and so like. We were watching Jingle Jangle last night on Netflix, which is just.
I've heard it's so entertaining.
I'm sorry, the name just made me crack up. Jingle Jangle?
Yeah. Okay. Jingle Jangle, yeah.
Gotta watch it.
Forrest Whitaker. Who else
is
in this thing?
I heard of it, but.
Keegan Key. I mean, it's really cool.
I love him.
Yeah, and he sings and dances like crazy, and that was pretty cool. And then there was, I think, Christmas Rush. That was actually on Hallmark. That was with Romy Malco. Yeah, that was another one.
A premiere.
Good God, I've watched it. Yeah.
I'm gonna buy you those socks that say "I'm leave me alone. I'm watching my Hallmark Christmas movie."
I think I actually bought those for Danielle last year.
James needs a pair.
What's funny is because it's my wife watching, but I was like, I'm not watching them either. I'm watching
for you in the past.
I'm in there too.
It's hard.
I'm going through a sock drawer in a minute.
You get sucked in. I was watching.
Yeah.
I was recovering from surgery, and I was watching a couple because they're just so light and easy, and it's not heavy, and you know the world's a little heavy. And my husband, like, we watched three together when I was recovering from surgery, and he was like, you have to turn it off now. I can't do it
anymore.
There's
too much love.
But it's just, it's easy, and it's happy.
Yeah, it's light, and if you fall asleep, you don't miss anything.
Right. You know how it ends.
You can catch up and go, oh, yeah, they're going to win this thing. Candace, you go get it, little Candace Cameron Burr.
I haven't watched a single Hallmark movie this year during the holidays, and usually it's like on nonstop for me.
Oh man, you should do it.
One this year.
What have you been watching?
Only things for work, really. Yeah. And then we have a couple of things that we'll just kind of gravitate towards if we're like, okay, we just need something on before we go to bed, or like, you know, just to wind down from the day.
We watched Movies That Made Us, the series on Netflix. It's so good.
We even talked about that. Oh my God, it's so great.
Home Alone and Elf and The Nightmare Before Christmas are the three holiday movies. They're so good.
Yes.
And they're so really well done. Like, I'm a movie lover. Like, I love, love, love movies. I have my whole life. And I found out things that I had no idea had gone down. I was like, wait, what?
I mean, these are all movies that really like show you the behind the scenes of how they got made and that they weren't going to get made. And studios were pushing back and filmmakers pushing forward and just figuring out a way to get it made. And I mean, they literally made careers out of people on these particular movies. So Elf was a good one, and how it all came together and the guys who produced it. And they're like, and these were, I'm not gonna say, they were not proven people to go produce a movie like this. And they got it made. Home Alone was kind of off on its own, filmed mostly in a school in Chicago, but outside of the watchful eye of the studio. That one's great.
I thought it was fascinating about Home Alone, how it started off as a movie getting made by one studio, and then the budget increased and they went back, and I think the difference was like $1.2 million or something. And they went back, and that $1.2 million caused that studio to say, never mind, shut it down. And when that happened, wasn't it Fox that picked it up? Fox picked it up and said, don't shut anything down. Keep production going. We'll happily give you that money. And then it ended up making, what, $250 million. And I think they only asked for $13-14 million in total to make it. And just think about how much money that film has now generated years, and years and years later.
Mm-hmm. How many?
And Die Hard is the other Christmas movie that they do.
Of course.
And what's funny about those two is Home Alone is actually way more violent than Die Hard. Way more violent. Like, have you ever seen that YouTube video where someone actually cuts in horror music to like all of the pranks? And when you change the tone of that music, that movie is dark.
Well, in the TV segment, they actually say that the stunts in Home Alone completely changed the face of movie stunts and what it meant to be a stunt coordinator or stunt guy, because like the one where he literally is going up the steps and like flies backwards, they were like, he actually hit his back, and that was like, he just did it. And to that point, stunts weren't necessarily done that way, but they couldn't shoot them any other way. So there is a stunt that like almost comical throw yourself backwards and fall is now called the Home Alone.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's so crazy.
They call it the Home Alone. And the music, going back to the music, it's
John Williams.
John Williams. I mean, of all the music. So I don't want to replace his score.
Well, no, absolutely not.
But I have seen that.
But all I'm saying is the same thing happens in Home Alone and A Quiet Place. You know, that scene with the stairs with the nail. And the only thing that really is different is the tone and Daniel Stern didn't just give
up. I was about to say, wait, what? Did I miss something else?
No, Daniel Stern.
Yeah, there's a whole nother, if Howard Stern was in, it'd be a whole different movie.
It would.
Well, now I got to watch the Home Alone one because I remember that.
So
it
was, good.
Yeah, I've got to watch this now.
I can't believe that was 1990. I keep thinking it was 89, but it was 90.
90.
30 years ago.
I can't believe Crazy. It.
So that's what's going on, what we're watching. That's the Warner Brothers news.
Yeah. Did anyone watch
Hallmark movies?
Did anyone watch The Sound of Metal?
I've seen it. I saw that movie. I think I put that on the thing. I saw that movie at Toronto Film Festival 2019, back when you can go to stuff. And it made my list quickly of my list of favorite films of the year then and now. I mean, if you can see this film, see this movie. It is.
Absolutely. And I wish I could have saw it in a theater, because again, the audio plays such an important role. And like, you can't get that highly isolated audio of just being immersed in it outside of a movie theater.
You can't, because when you go from, and does everybody know what the movie's about?
No, tell me. Would I like it? Scott would know.
You would. So okay. It's basically
Scott
about
knows my how I am. Yeah.
So Riz Ahmed plays a drummer who starts to lose his hearing, but it's drastically, decreasing. And he plays a former addict, and basically he gets invited to participate in this deaf community. And I won't go, more. There's way more layers to it, but it's a man who's struggling. To find his own way of communicating while he also is losing his hearing.
And wait, James, you said you saw it at the Toronto Film Festival?
Saw it at the Toronto Film Festival 2019. And
did it win anything?
No, it did not, other than the hearts and minds of everybody who saw it. There was not a person who didn't like the film. And even though you hear the word The Sound of Metal, and they are a heavy metal band.
Yeah.
And I can't think of the lead actress. She's the from Ready Player One and Me, Earl and the Dying Girl.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
She's the other lead in the film, and she's the lead singer of the band. And it's the metal part of it is probably, it's like a 2-hour movie. And I think the metal part, maybe 11 minutes. I mean, there's not a lot of
Olivia Cook.
Yeah. Thank you. Olivia Cook. There's not a lot of the music. It starts off that way. And then the way the sound is done, if you hate metal, it's going to be fine because you're going to go deaf. I mean, the way it's done, you go with him, and it's, and it's really, I don't know, it's really something. We're doing something at the festival with the persons of disability, and I'm highly considering some sort of special screening of this film, because it goes into how, I mean, there's a lot of humanity in, I mean, think about it, like for somebody who watches movies about losing your sight, and you're a drummer, and if you're a drummer, and that's, I mean, you're losing your hearing. I mean, that is, that's your soul, man. I mean, you can't, so it's fascinating. It's a really good film. I hope it gets more love as far as
award season coming in. Netflix?
Amazon Prime. It was Amazon original, but it was definitely one of those ones that I would have definitely slapped on my money on the counter to see in the theater.
Mm-hmm. We actually have interviews with the female lead.
Oh, with Olivia Cook?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
really?
So we'll share that. I'll make sure you guys get a link to that. But we can also share that on our social too, so you guys can.
Guys working on, for your film festival, are you guys working on like an in-person film festival?
The concept is to do all three fronts. So we will be doing some virtual, some in-person, and then some outdoor, like in a park and slash drive-in. That's cool. The idea. I mean, it's not, we moved the festival to May.
Okay.
I mean, not to May, start to June, to late June. So June 25th through July 2nd. So with hopes of, you know, that with the vaccine and people by that time, I mean, you know, we just a certain number percentages, if we get, you know, if we get above that 60% or whatever it is to get people to a place that June, people will be dying to, or excuse me, living to get out and be outside and go to movie theaters and just get out in public and be safe.
Yeah, that's what we were just talking about before you guys arrived.
Yeah. Cool. Summer is going to be huge. Not a week without.
I'm so ready.
I don't want to either, but you guys would be the best to ask this, because I was thinking as we move forward towards, you know, safe harbor, if you will, there's so many films. Are we looking at a situation, and I don't know if this is not, I didn't see an agenda this time. Are we looking at a situation where we're going to have a tentpole times three a week for...
We were just talking about this.
22 weeks.
There's almost a tentpole every week that could be on the release schedule for to a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what I mean. There's
so much out there.
Yeah.
Once it starts unpacking itself, you know, and again, I believe moviegoers will go back because that experience is just so much. Go back one time and it's just, then you forget how good it is in a theater. And that's just going to start spurring the momentum. But movie theaters have to do a good job of really selling the experience, not just the movie. The studio is going to do a great job of selling the movie. Mm-hmm. Each theater's got to really push what's making that theater special. And it could be a whole host of things. It can be seats, options. It can be pricing. It can be sound. It can be the picture. It can be concessions. But we've really got to talk about what that experience is like and how it feels to go to the movie, because we're really going to be in a spot. We used to say, hey, I can go see the movie anywhere. I can go see Wonder Woman anywhere. Yeah, including on your couch on opening day. So we've got to do a great job of that.
I do think it's going to re-energize. Remember, like, maybe not even back in the day, but like even when I was like in my teens and in my 20s, yes, I love movies. I'm not as like movie fanatic, and you guys know so much more, but I still went every single weekend, like every weekend. And I think that this potentially could shift that behavior to come back, because people aren't going to want to be home. And if there are big films every single weekend, why wouldn't you go every weekend?
It'll be interesting to see what happens with the casual moviegoer, the person who really went kind of 4 to 6 times a year previously.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2018 and 2019, if you were this, what was considered a casual moviegoer, 4 to 6 times a year, how long will it take to get that behavior back? And then the super users like myself, you know, those people, I think, will just naturally gravitate back. It's really what happens to that bigger swath of people that fall into the casual movie going.
That's what I'm talking. I think the casual moviegoer will increase. I really do. And I hope.
I agree.
I think people are just going to want some affordable entertainment that allows them to get out of the house. And I mean, that's why movie going is one of the reasons movie going has been so popular for so long, is because it does offer that escapism for the price of a movie ticket.
Well, I also think that we've been there's going to be more to discover at movie theaters, because movie theaters are going to really focus in not just on the big tentpole movies, but how do you fill up those screens, multiple screens over time with other content? And it could be stuff from the, you know, the Spotlight, CineLive, Fathom and Trafalgar's. It could be Funimation. I mean, it could be Hallmark movies. There's going to be more to discover at theaters than ever before. IFC films, smaller studios like Utopia and Collective and Magnolia. Because now that the breach has been made of day and date, I think as an exhibitor, you've got to find a way to put the best movies on screen, or the best content on screen. That could be a Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. fight, or a Jake Paul, Floyd Mayweather fight. You've just got to find a way to put the best stuff on screen at all times.
I've seen a boxing match on screen and it was amazing. It was really crazy.
Had the, I don't know if I should say this because it probably didn't have the rights to it. We played the a long time ago when the Mavericks were in the finals. We played the Mavericks and we would take reservations. And literally when the national anthem came on, everybody stood up and hand over heart. This was years ago.
Yeah.
But like you thought you were in the stadium.
Arena, yeah.
In the arena. It was cool.
Mm-hmm. It's yeah, really and also cool. The more that you can do things like...
We didn't charge for that experience, by the way.
Right. Of course not. Yeah, but I think also that, you know, with the technology being able to, you know, link all these theaters together, you know, in some sort of way, and being given like a live event that you would have to be at in person, you know, is another really good way to utilize that experience. But we are running out of time here quite quickly.
Just one last thing I want to add, Scott, sorry. And I also think with the shorter window, there's going to be more opportunity to show more film, because I think a lot of people don't know in the background, there are sometimes there are obligations of films that you have to keep in a certain auditorium for 4 weeks. If the window is shrinking, then exhibitors aren't going to have to do that. And it's going to open up more opportunity for more content. I just wanted to add that in.
Okay.
I
know we're speaking of shrinking windows, the countdown is happening right now as Zoom is about ready to cut us off. So it was so good to see you guys all again.
You too, guys.
Great reunion. Back together.
Yeah. So we'll be coming back to you guys again, probably the next week or so. So stay tuned.
Great to see you.
At the movies.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.